It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll get the latest news from the public impeachment hearings. First, it's Food Friday, and this week it's a new twist on a classic, specifically a classic cookbook. Joy of Cooking, first published in 1931 by Irma Rombauer, has found a spot in many of our kitchens. It's been revised here and there over the years, and now it's got a major update while staying within the family. The latest edition has added about 600 new recipes, revised some older ones, and expanded its instructional sections to help a new generation of home chefs. John Becker is the great-grandson of Irma Rombauer and one of the authors of the new edition. John, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having us. Great to be here.
And Megan Scott has been with the Joy of Cooking team for about a decade. She's worked with her husband, John, to write this updated version. Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Well, John, a lot of us might have that recipe collection from great grandma or the old cookbook from our family, and you've got Joy of Cooking. Is that a lot of pressure to steward this this huge collection of recipes?
It's definitely a great responsibility. We know the significance we have for a lot of families across the country. We definitely took revising this book seriously.
Megan, what goes into deciding which recipes to add to a collection like this, which ones to take out, which ones to revise?
It's really a case-by-case basis. So when we were first starting the revision process, we went through the book, the previous edition that came out in 2006, line by line several times and created a huge outline. So anywhere we felt there was something missing from a chapter or anything that needed to be fact-checked or edited, we made note of that. And then we went in and actually started doing the revision. So we had a really clear idea of what we were going to do before we even got started. We wanted to really represent, how our Americans cooking now? What kinds of ingredients do people have access to? What kind of flavor profiles do people love? So those are things that we really took into account when thinking about what to add and what to take out.
And that's a big point about Joy of Cooking, this new version. John, can you talk about things that are here now in 2019 that might not have been so commonplace back in, say, 1931?
Well, it's hard to know where to start. In 1931, we didn't have pressure cookers. Those came, well, at least we started talking about them in 1939. Garlic was they would come in like little boxes and it was very hard to find and used very, very, judiciously.
And even some things, that we take for granted now, like soy sauce, you just did not have soy sauce in 1931. So Irma actually had a recipe for, was it chow mein?
That's right.
Chow mein in the 1931 edition, but she did not use soy sauce because it just wasn't really available to her.
Wow. Okay. So that's some big changes. Also, you've put a lot more attention into updating the food safety and nutritional side of things, Megan. Can you talk about the focus there?
Yeah, we really wanted to have a more robust section on food safety because we think, home cooks now are not necessarily starting with the same base of knowledge that their parents or grandparents did. And it's important to cover all those bases so that people are really safe in the kitchen. So we did actually write a new section on food safety that lives in the nutrition chapter, which was also completely revised. And we were also taking into account things like, people wanting to, even if they're not a vegetarian or a vegan, wanting to eat less meat and more flavorful vegetable dishes.
And John, speaking of making this accessible to someone who may not have the same cooking knowledge as someone who might have come in 1931, that's always been kind of the approach of Joy of Cooking, right? This is not something pitched to the gourmet chef. This is something that people could start off with and then keep working throughout their cooking lives.
Absolutely. Since the first edition, I think our goal has been to kind of deprofessionalize cooking for the home cook. And, now we really do try to speak to all skill levels, really. So, we want to be there for the beginner when they're just starting out and really don't need to get their bearings in the kitchen, but also have reference material and, just some really solid reference information for those of us who might need a refresher every now and then.
Talking to John Becker and Megan Scott about a cookbook that's been in their family for a couple generations. It's Joy of Cooking. They're out with a new revised edition, a lot of new recipes, a lot of the old classics still there. Love to hear from you, by the way, at 800-642-1234. Is Joy of Cooking part of your own cooking heritage? Is it on your bookshelf right now? Did it help you too? Enjoy cooking and get better at it. Call in and share your maybe favorite recipe from the book, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Well, you've shared, Megan and John, a couple of recipes with us. We've got that online at wpr.org/foodfriday. I'll throw this one in, and either of you can run with this one if you want. The whole berry cranberry sauce, very timely recipe for the month of November. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, well, we really love making a homemade cranberry sauce for Thanksgiving because it's so easy. I think it takes about 10 minutes to make. It's got maybe two or three ingredients. Of course, you can flavor it any way you want. Sometimes we like to add orange zest or spices like a whole cinnamon stick or star anise. And sometimes we'll even add some port at the end for a nice kick. But it's one of those Thanksgiving sides that you can actually make up to a week ahead of time, maybe even a little bit more. So you can get that out of the way so you don't even have to think about it.
Is this something that you are just going to restrict to your Thanksgiving table, or are you willing to eat a cranberry sauce like this any time of year?
Oh, I mean, anytime. You know, I think it does get relegated to Thanksgiving, but we love it anytime.
And John, a lot of cookbooks have a section in each recipe for ingredients, another for directions. In The Joy of Cooking, it's got its own approach. It's mixed together step by step. How important do you think that, and that was, I think, from the original, right? How important is that to its accessibility?
That's incredibly important. Actually, Irma published the first edition, self-published the first edition, and then developed that recipe format before she published the 1936 edition with Bob's Merrill, Midwestern publisher. So the ingredients and the directions are mixed together, and it really helps you follow along in the kitchen. So you're not necessarily like going back and forth between the directions and a list of ingredients, which can get, you know, I mean, when you're juggling pans, or, you know, trying to prep onions while something else is going on, it can be a little bit overwhelming. So we think that format is really great for, especially for beginning cooks.
And Megan, there's a big section, I don't know if this is brand new, a big chapter on salting, drying, and fermenting. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, actually, Joya's had sections on salting, smoking, and drying for a while, but the fermentation section is new, and we did revamp all those other sections as well. You know, Joya's had a recipe for sauerkraut for many years, but we never really described the process of fermentation, so what's happening when you ferment something, how to know when something you're fermenting is ready to eat. So we wanted to provide all those guidelines for home cooks, and it's really, we love those kinds of DIY kitchen projects. They take a little bit more time, but they're really rewarding because it's kind of an interesting way to build up your pantry.
And John, yeah, I think of fermenting as something that somebody else does for me. I buy it in the jar after they've done it. It's an industrial process. It's kind of cool bringing it back to home cooks, which is where it had been for, what, centuries before that.
Yeah, you know, it's super low effort, and it, you know, after you do a few batches, get those under your belt, it really is, it's just a friendly thing to do. You know, it's just
it becomes
easy.
Pretty intuitive once you get the hang of it. Yeah, and you can kind of ferment anything, so you can really explore.
And John, I wanted to ask, do you hear from people when people find out who you are and, you know, who your great-grandma was and your connection to the book, do you hear a lot of stories and anecdotes about people's connection to Joy of Cooking?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have gotten some really heartfelt communications since we started. So we are the people behind Joy's social media presence. And of course, you know, we field emails all the time and, you know, get things in the actual mail. And, you know, I think that, what was it? A few years ago, we received a paperback edition that was just destroyed. you know, like it was basically just, you know, a stack of paper, like in a Ziploc bag, along with an accompanying note that was just like the sweetest thing ever. It really, this woman was saying that, you know, she was going into a nursing home and, you know, she didn't think that her daughters would appreciate the stack of papers. But she wanted to let us know that, you know, that the Joy of Cooking had, you know, gotten her, had seen her through three marriages, helped her raise six children and, you know, numerous grandchildren, had been through a flood.
Wow.
You know? And, you know, it just really, it speaks to the kind of special relationship that at least we think that we have with our, you know, most of our readers. And
we're talking to John Becker and Megan Scott right now. They're behind Joy of Cooking's latest edition. It features hundreds of new recipes, among other things. You can join in at 800-642-1234. was joy of cooking a part of your kitchen growing up, maybe your parents' kitchen growing up? Has it helped you learn how to cook, bake, ferment now? What questions do you have for our guests about their work updating a classic or cooking itself? Do you have a favorite recipe from the book that you've used over the over your cooking career? Is there a hand-me-down copy that was maybe in a little better shape than that one in the plastic bag? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And by the way, find out a few recipes that John and Megan shared with us. We have those at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We continue our conversation with John Becker and Megan Scott. They are co-authors, or the most recent authors, of the new edition of The Joy of Cooking. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have memories of using Joy of Cooking in your kitchen? Is that memory from last night or from years ago? Did you grow up with the book? Learn from it? Do you have cooking questions for our guests? Is there a favorite recipe from the book? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Maggie is with us in Waukesha. Maggie, hi.
Hi. Well, I wanted to let you know that my favorite recipe in the cookbook is the rum chocolate mousse on page 738 from the 1975 edition.
It's funny you mentioned that. We actually brought it back for the new edition.
Oh, yay.
Yeah,
we love that one. It's excellent.
And Maggie, what is it about this one that sticks with you?
Oh, it's delicious, and it's something that is requested by my sons and their friends. It's an all-around favorite, I've managed to make it into pies and other things also. It's and my sons actually had they're both young adults now, and they both requested if I would get them that specific edition of The Joy of Cooking, which I happen to be able to find at Half Price Books.
Maggie, thank you so much for sharing that. What a great story. And actually, that reminds me, she said she took this this thing and made it into a pie. And there's a bit, Megan, in the book where you talk about, you know, when you stick to the recipe, when you can kind of freewheel a little bit.
Yeah, we expect our readers to kind of go off script a little bit. That's kind of the way people have treated The Joy of Cooking for a long time, is that there are a lot of really great basic recipes that can be riffed on. And we think it's really fun to, you know, not stick to the recipe all the time.
Thanks a lot. Oh, go ahead, John.
We certainly don't.
Yeah.
Thanks for that call. And I wanted to ask, and John, this is a terrible question to ask you, but I'm going to ask you anyway, is there a recipe that you have, you know, maybe from growing up around The Joy of Cooking cookbook that that has stuck with you, that's one that you used to go to and maybe now make yourself?
Yeah, well, you know, my father, you know, when... So my father lived in... my father, Ethan, lived in Cincinnati. And so, you know, we would go to get to the chili parlor, have the, you know, this Greek Macedonian style Cincinnati chili. And he actually developed a recipe for that. That's really, really good. And yeah, I make that every now and then, because I don't get to Cincinnati very often anymore, but definitely crave that dish.
Let's go back to our callers. Therese is with us in Stoughton. Therese, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Therese?
Well, back in the 80s, I was a commercial fisherman in Alaska, and I was a young girl, and I knew nothing about cooking. And The Joy of Cooking came on board with me, and I used that to cook for the entire summer that I was working on the fishing boat. And I didn't even know how to boil eggs. So it was really important for me to be able to cook. So I did that, and I've had two other copies since then, you know, two different renditions, and I still have that old one, and it sounds like that one caller where, you know, it was down to papers and just barely hanging in there together.
I got to ask, Therese, is this, you're cooking for yourself, or are you cooking for the whole crew here?
No, it was a crew of four.
Oh, okay.
Low man on the totem pole, you ended up doing more of the cooking than everyone else did.
Oh, that's a fantastic story, Therese. Thank you so much. So, John, the cookbook is probably stained with salt water at this point. Joy of Cooking's probably been everywhere on the planet at this point, I'm guessing.
No, yeah. Marion would get communiques from all over, from expats all over the world, really.
And we've heard from folks who, you know, maybe they were stationed in another country in the army or the military, and, you know, young wives who are trying to learn how to cook. And definitely have heard a lot of stories of people trying to navigate places all over the world.
Well, and then also, I remember, like, when we first started running the social media accounts for Joy, we got a woman who was doing some work in South Africa was coming to us with some really, you know, kind of in-depth questions about solar cooking and
bread baking.
Wow.
We're talking about the classic cookbook, Joy of Cooking. John Becker and Megan Scott are the authors of the newest generation of the book. Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Miriam is with us in Madison. Miriam, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My mom is from a European country, and so cooking American was different for her. And she married a GI and had asked for their for a wedding gift for an American cookbook. And she got a different type of cookbook. Over probably about like 18 years later, she had picked Joy Cooking up, and she gave that to me for a high school graduation gift. And she said that she had wished that she had that when she was learning to cook.
Fantastic.
But I don't know whatever happened to that cookbook, but I remember love reading it. I've picked things up from that book, as well as my travels around the world, and just trial and error. But that was definitely a fun reading for me right out of high school. So thank you. I can't wait to see the new edition.
Miriam, thank you so much. And Megan, the production of the cookbook, Joy of Cooking, has gone through generations, and we're hearing from people who have had multi-generational uses of the cookbook, too.
Yeah, and, you know, I actually didn't grow up in a Joy of Cooking family, but when I moved out of my parents' house, I was actually in college and kind of living on my own for the first time. I bought myself a Joy of Cooking because I just knew, I somehow intuitively, that this was the kitchen Bible that was going to teach me everything I needed to know.
Thanks a lot for that call. Jim joins us next in Watertown. Jim, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking the call. Yes, my mom learned to perfect her cooking with the Joy of Cooking and passed it on to me, and I use it myself for mainly for the poultry barbecue as a base recipe. I mean, I've changed it around a little bit to give it my own flavor, but and I've passed one on to my daughter. So thank you all very much.
Jim, thank you so much. That's another great multi-generational Joy of Cooking story. Hey, you like chicken, Jim. I should mention another recipe you guys shared with us, chicken makini masala. A lot of spices in this one. Either of you, again, can tackle this. Tell us about this chicken makini masala.
Well, it's great. It's it actually involves, you know, grilling the chicken first. I mean, ideally, you know, you put a nice char on the chicken, you know, cook it through, and then it actually at that point goes into a nice masala, so a tomato sauce with tempered spices. So the spices are fried before you add the onions and the garlic and the ginger. It's just a fantastic dish. It's also known as butter chicken and tikka masala sometimes, but definitely worth checking out. It's a little bit of an extra effort, but if you, for instance, want to grill the chicken one night, then a double batch of it, then you have leftovers to make the masala the next night. That's what I like to do.
We've got that online at WPR.org/Food Friday. Well, we're here in Wisconsin, and Megan, I understand you've been a cheesemaker's apprentice. You two first connected, do I have this right, over a love of blue cheese?
Yes, that was one of the first conversations we had was about cheese, and I am very passionate about cheese. I love all kinds of cheese, particularly the very stinky ones. So it was important to me that I date a person who also loved stinky cheese.
Let's take another caller. Gene is with us driving through Wisconsin, it sounds like. Gene, hello.
Hi. I have, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for the Joy of Cooking. One of the greatest things I learned from the book was how to thicken sauces and soups. it was something that was always kind of a mystery, and I ended up with a lot of lumps before I got that book. And secondly, I'd like to ask, now, is there a general rule of thumb of how long home canned goods, when they've been canned properly, are good on the shelf?
Ooh, okay. Thanks for the comment, Gene, and any advice on when we can our own stuff. Maybe we canned a lot of stuff this fall. How long that's going to be safe?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the general rule of thumb is 2 years. And honestly, you know, things will probably usually be safe after that point, but they do start to deteriorate in quality and just not taste as good.
Yeah, and, it, you know, when in doubt, throw it out. You know, that's, that is really the, you know, if you can tell that the seal in any way has been compromised, we actually store all of our canned goods with the rings off. And I think that, the USDA actually does recommend you do that. But it's definitely something good to keep in mind, because that way, with the rings off, you can really tell when something, you know, when something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Gene, thanks a lot for that call. John told us about that Cincinnati-style chili. Megan, do you have a favorite go-to recipe from some incarnation of Joy of Cooking?
Well, one of my favorite recipes from the new edition is it's an olive oil cake. So it's this really rich, it's almost like a pound cake, but kind of Italian pound cake. So it's made with olive oil instead of butter. It has some cornmeal in it and some orange zest and orange juice. And I love serving it all year long with whatever fruit is in season. It's kind of a one bowl cake, so it's super easy to make and really flavorful.
Well, cake is a good place to wrap things up. Megan and John, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
John Becker and Megan Scott are the authors of The Joy of Cooking's latest edition. The book was first published by John's great-grandmother, Irma Rombauer, in 1931. We've got three recipes that they shared with us at WPR.org/Food Friday. We talked about the chicken makini masala, the whole berry cranberry sauce, get that ready for Thanksgiving, and then one bonus one, a banana bread cacane. So check those out. Make them over the weekend if you'd like. Again, they're at WPR.org/Food Friday.